Hello, welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Well, as you can clearly see if you've been following along for a while, it's been since last July that I was in a place where I could record and send you guys anything. Whew, that's saying a lot, isn't it? I don't even have the words for what I've been going through since July. But I did come on tonight because I wanted to celebrate the fact that I have broken through some of the biggest life challenges that I've faced in 57 years. And I'm coming out on the other side now. So I want to celebrate with you guys. And I want to share what I can, as tired as I am. And I'm probably going to cry because, you know, I do that here. But I am about 2 days away from finishing up the move and getting ready for the estate sale where I'm selling 2/3 of everything I own and getting out from under, God, 47 years of codependency with my parents. So you haven't heard from me since July because I have been doing incredibly deep inner work, energy work, every kind of work I can think of to break free of this pattern of sacrificing myself for these two people who just, I don't mean to be dramatic, but they eat their young, especially if you're the young one that tells them the truth. So all this caregiving and this digging in and this giving to them and this sacrificing to try to make their lives better, I'm done. I know if you've been following for a while, you know that, you know, last April, and here we are in April again, a year later. Last April, my brother came to town and basically pulled the rug out from under all of us and made a bunch of threats and told me to get out of the house and stop caregiving for my mom with dementia and, you know, all this stuff. It was just this huge chaos and drama, which my entire family loves, and I don't. I don't love drama. I don't love chaos. It triggers me to no end, but I had to sit with it. I had to process it. I had to work through it. I had to do everything that I knew to do and use every tool that I've ever known spiritually and energetically to try to process the lessons in all this caregiving and all this sacrificing that I've been doing. And y'all, I did it. I broke through. I finally, about 2 months ago, just said, this is enough. I'm not going to take any more narcissistic abuse. I'm not going to be the bad guy in every scenario when I am killing myself to be the best good guy that's humanly possible in every situation. I realized I was starting to develop some narcissistic reactions of my own, because that's what you do when you've been abused emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically your whole life by people. You start to kind of morph into becoming like them, to blend in. So I was starting to say and do things that I couldn't even fathom were coming out of my face in response to my dad especially. So a couple of months ago, I hired an estate sale company and I made my dad sign a contract. And I said, look, if you're going to move to Phoenix and you're going to take my mom away and you're going to keep me from being her caregiver because I tell you the truth and I stand up to you and I do everything that I know, you know, with my medical intuition and all my gifts to keep her safe and happy, if you're going to insist that she go out there, let's get her done, because I'm tired of being the victim here and the brunt of all of your anger. And so I hired an estate sale company, and they came in, and I made my dad sign the contract, and they gave us, ironically, till April Fool's Day to be out of the house. Now, my plan was to do the estate sale and to put the house on the market for mom and dad and to take care of all of that, because I've always taken care of all the adulting for them. But my dad, after we set everything in stone and we're ready to go, turns on me after a conversation with my brother and starts telling me and everyone else in range that I'm trying to steal his house and I'm trying to steal his car, and if I am left to take care of the house and put it on the market, that I'll never leave. And just all this insane, crazy talk that is absolutely what happens when the trio of narcissists that are my brother, my dad, and my mother get together and make up all these stories. That's what comes of that. So it's crazy making, because I'm the one with integrity. I'm the one that tells the truth. I'm the one that cleans up the messes. And I'm also the one that creates magic in this clan. Time and time and time and time again. But they pulled the rug out from under me again and made it just ridiculous. And it's funny, that was kind of the final straw that made me go, okay, cool. Hands off. Hands off. You guys can do this yourself. So I called the estate sale company. I had my dad sign the contract so that he was legally bound to being out of the house on a certain date. That date, like I said, was April 1st, and we are now on April 5th. And they moved my mom, I guess a week ago. She's been gone a week. And it's been a really tough week for me, because even though she's not okay and she's imbalanced and she's mentally ill and she's narcissistic and she's all that she is, that's my mom. And I really miss her. And I had no say in how she got out to Phoenix and how that all occurred, because my dad has been the most petulant jerk, abusive beyond belief throughout this whole transitional period. I mean, if I told you the stuff that he's been doing, you wouldn't believe me. Just the things that he has done to make me pay for helping him get to where he wanted to go has been astounding. But I'm trying to let it all go, and I'm trying to move forward in my life, and I'm trying to let my hands off the wheel of trying to control any of it. So that's the biggest lesson for me, is just let these people who are hell-bent on doing things their way do just that. So I have practiced the ultimate in bless and release that I know how to practice. So she's been gone a week. He's been gone 5 days. He did just a horrible, covert, narcissistic, grandiose goodbye as he was leaving the house the other day. I'll tell you about that in another podcast, because I'm so tired tonight. If I start talking about it, I'll either cry or I'll just get so mad I won't make any sense. But it was just ridiculous what he did. And as I've been prepping for the estate sale, I've been finding all these little FU landmines that my dad's left me. Like, the only the only thing that I've ever knitted in my whole life was a scarf for my daddy, and he left it on top of a big pile of clothes that he wanted to leave for the estate sale. And like every present that I ever bought him, he left in the top of his closet where I couldn't reach it, but I would have to climb up and drag it down and realize it was, you know, every card and every gift I'd ever left him. I mean, that's what narcissists do. They make you pay for everything. And it's funny, I've been really kind of trying to understand more about my parents lately. Not my mom so much, because I get her more than I ever get my dad. She's, with all her brokenness and all the things that's going on with her, she's still a compassionate, loving, complicated, trauma-induced person. You know, she's bipolar. She's borderline personality. She's got all this other stuff going on, but she still can be incredibly loving at times. And that's been the thing, or the hook, you know, that's kept me coming back. It's still my mom. And at times, like I've told you in past podcasts, she's just been lovely the last few years to take care of. And that it's been really healing. It's been good to see that side of her again. Although, you know, she's been a scorpion and just reared her head at me the last 6 or 8 months at times. So, you know, she's still in there. That scary version of her is still definitely in there and aimed at me when it needs to be on her part. But my dad, I finally realized all the levels of narcissism that there are. You know, I knew about gaslighting, and I knew kind of the Cliff Notes version of how all that works. And my mom, I've learned, is kind of a grandiose narcissist, which is pretty obvious. Like they're the blustery ones that everything's about them, and you can just sort of tell, and whatever. You kind of either get on board or get passed up. They're pretty easy to spot and easier to deal with. My dad is a covert narcissist, and they're the super scary ones. They're the ones that to the outside world are lovely, so sweet, so attentive, so kind, open doors for strangers and return carts to the grocery store and, you know, would never steal from anybody and just bend over backwards to look like they're a good person. Like it's a big acting game for the covert narcissist, just to look like the good guy in a Western to everyone outside of your home. But when the door shuts and they come back inside, the things they say about the people they just ran into or the people inside the home and the things that they do are horrible. I mean, horrible, you guys. At some point, when I'm not this tired, I promise you, I will tell you the heinous shit that my dad has said and done to me in my lifetime. The level of abuse that I have endured from this broken man. And I get it. I get that he's broken. I get that I chose him. I do truly believe that. We pick our parents. But right now, I am so angry at the level of narcissism that he's got, how he pretends to be so lovely to everybody outside the home and then comes back in. And here's the analogy that I finally figured out the other day with my dad that is so helpful to me. Maybe it'll help you understand the narcissist in your life. I couldn't quite figure out how it is that my dad manages to be both the hero and the victim in every scenario. But I got this visual. He runs around with lighter fluid and matches and lights little fires everywhere and then really fuels it so it blows up and burns the house down. And then he runs around and goes, "Oh my God, the house is burnt down, and because you were in it, it's all your fault. Like, it's all my fault." Well, he's the one running around with the lighter fluid and the matches and then accelerating it and then somehow tries to pin it on you and be the victim of what he has done. That's the best analogy that I can come up with for a covert narcissist. Because when you go outside the house and you say, "Oh my God, he's horrible. He's the one that lit the house on fire." They go, "No, he's such a great guy. Your dad's just, he's been always so, so nice to us." Well, he is to your face. And then he comes in the house and says horrible things about neighbors and friends and people that are my friends and me. He says horrible things about me, you know, once nobody else is around. And that's the telltale sign. Watch the people in your life and see how they talk to you when no one else is around to hear it. That's how you know who you're dealing with. And my dad has just been like borderline evil with the way he's been dealing with me, especially the last few years, because I've been standing up to him. I've been getting more and more empowered. I have been less and less inclined to be codependent with him. I have been truthful at every turn about what my mom has needed in her care and what I was willing to provide. And he didn't like it. And the more he didn't like it, the darker he got, and the more vicious he got, and the more malicious he got, and the more childish he got. That's what happens with covert narcissists. So listen to this, y'all. If there's anybody in your life that's remotely like this, reach out to me. I'll be glad to help you with some of the tools that I've used to help me get through this. But you gotta understand it. So I've really been dealing with a lot since I talked to you guys in July. I have been dismantling my entire life. I have been learning how to bless and release. I have been doing a lot of energy work to work through my anger, my fear, my need to control things, my inability to trust in the universe. I have fought through all that and finally gotten to a place where I realize this is such a benevolent universe. I am so divinely led and so blessed and so grateful, and that will never be taken away from me, especially by these wounded, broken people that I was born to. They are broken. They choose to stay broken. They choose to stay together. I don't understand it. I don't have to. I also don't have to sacrifice myself, my joy, my light, my energy, my future, any of that to them anymore. And that has been probably my lesson of this lifetime. Not probably, it is. It's just my biggest lesson of this lifetime. Stop sacrificing yourself. Stop throwing yourself into their volcano day after day after day after day. They want to live in the darkness, and I don't have to make myself small anymore to fit into that tiny space where they live. I don't have to know the answers. I don't have to get where I'm going. I don't have to see the bigger picture. I literally just have to stop that pattern, begin to walk away, and trust that this beautiful universe that adores me and shows me in the tiniest ways every day that I'm being supported is there for me. And so it's been a really hard 6 or 8 months since I've talked to you guys, but it's been the biggest gift of my life in this last week to be letting go of them and their drama and their chaos and their insanity and their darkness and their sadness and their need to live there. Like, they just insist on living in that place. And I wake up every day, even in the midst of all that, grateful that I'm alive, grateful that I woke up, grateful that I have a roof over my head and food and whatever it is that I've got that day that I can look forward to. And bless their hearts, they don't have that. And now they're gone. And I woke up the last two mornings for the first time in 57 years in their home still, because I'm actually still here cleaning out stuff for the estate sale. But I woke up in their home that I have saged like crazy, and I've been listening to happy music, and I've been letting air and sunshine in and just bringing joy back into this place and clearing out decades of stuff of theirs and mine that just has all this heaviness and clinging to it. I've been letting all that go and blessing and releasing it. And there has been so much peace in my spirit. I'm sad. I miss my mom. I'm scared to death of what the future is, but I also trust implicitly that I am being divinely led to something so much richer and so much better. And I have been busting my butt physically for months now. You know, packing them and packing me and moving stuff in and moving stuff out and cleaning out my storage unit and cleaning out their garage and their attic and cleaning out the Airstream and the storage stuff at the Airstream and getting it situated and bringing stuff back. And I mean, it's just been this constant physical exercise as well as, you know, energetic and emotional and spiritual. But I'm shocked that physically, even with my Lyme disease and all the stuff that I've got, you know, viral in my body, I'm exhausted at the end of the day, like to the point that my body hurts and I am walking around like an 85-year-old. Like at the end of the day, I'm all hunched over and my left side, like my left arm doesn't work well. My left knee's all jacked up. My right foot, like I look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame at the end of the night and everything hurts. But I've been taking an Epsom salt bath. I've been trying to hydrate. I've been doing all the self-care that I know to do. I've been focused on as much good as I possibly can. And every single morning, even with all my Lyme disease and stuff, I am waking up at like 4 or 4:30 in the morning, which I do not like very much, but I'm waking up that early and I'm getting out of bed like the Energizer Bunny. And I am moving forward. I am moving towards my dreams. And I am getting stuff done. And I am making some beauty and some magic out of all this. And I am so proud of that. And I'm also asking for help when I need it, which is huge for me. And I'm finding joy in a bunch of little things. I'm going out and I'm hanging out with some girlfriends. And I'm doing what I need to do in every day to make the most of the day as best I can, because this has not been fun at all. But I'm trying to find pockets of fun where I can and practice as much self-care as I can. And that's been really great. And I'm doing goofy things that make me happy. Like I'm recycling and I'm just making sure that I leave everything better than I found it, because that's always been my motto. And so I go to bed every single night exhausted, but with a pretty damn clear conscience. And that right now, that's everything. And the last two mornings to wake up in this house without their chaotic, dramatic, traumatic energy, and have this whole space feel only like me, and to dance around and to drink good coffee and to sage the space and to help the estate sale people organize it and make some beauty out of what's left over. That has literally been everything. And I'm not saying it's been easy, because like a couple mornings ago, I went to this little restaurant in Sun City because I've just been too exhausted to cook, and the kitchen's a mess and you can't find anything. And, you know, my dad did stuff like take all the cooking stuff that I use. And I mean, he's just been doing shitty things, like things he knew were mine that I was going to keep and move to the camper. He sabotaged or broke or threw away or took the electrical cord and did something with it so I couldn't recharge it. I mean, it's been really stupid, childish stuff. So I haven't been cooking much, but I went to a breakfast place here in Sun City because I was just like, I was so exhausted. I was like, I'm gonna have some Migas and some really good coffee and somebody just be nice to me this morning. And the waiter was so sweet to me, I literally burst into tears as I ordered. I felt so bad for him. He's really sweet. I've seen him a bunch, but he gave me a hug and some free fruit and picked out the, the cantaloupe. I don't like cantaloupe for some reason. It tastes like perfume to me. I like honeydew, and I love watermelon, but cantaloupe I don't like. So he went and got me a fruit cup and picked out all the cantaloupe and brought me back what was left, which was so sweet. So it's just been little things like that that you're like, okay, I need love right now. I need nurturing. I'm definitely not getting it from my parents, but I'm getting it from almost total strangers that give me nurturing and love and thoughtfulness and kindness. So it's out there. It's just sometimes you don't get it from the people that are right in front of you. And that's been the other lesson in this, is letting go of attachment to what I wish was. I wish my parents were different. I wish they were loving. I wish they remembered my birthday. You know, I wish they'd bought me a Christmas gift this last year. That was our last Christmas together. But they didn't. Didn't even get me a card. You know, I wish Valentine's Day they had gotten me something when I made a huge attempt on all those things I just mentioned to, you know, provide all that for them. But they don't. They don't. I don't know why. And that's the other beauty of all this. I don't care anymore. I don't need to know why. They're broken. They're broken. It's their choice. That's all I need to know anymore. And I don't have to try or perform like a dog and pony show to try to get them to love me anymore, to try to learn why they do what they do and, you know, why do I deserve this? Well, I don't deserve this. It is what it is. And that's all. So quit looking for something different. These people cannot provide it for me. And so coming to that conclusion and not trying to earn their love anymore, because they just don't have it for whatever reason. And honestly, I don't really care anymore. I don't care what the reason is. I will provide it for myself. I am my own home. I am my own parent. I am my own self-love generator. I am a joy factory. And I am totally comfortable with all my emotions now, from incredible anger and rage to vulnerability and complete self-love. And that, to me, is like a PhD in soul work. So I'm really happy. I've missed you guys terribly, but it's been so dark and so heavy and so tumultuous and so full of landmines that I didn't know how to come on and share it with you. I'm really bad about not wanting to darken other people's lives when mine gets so bad. And let's just suffice it to say the last 6 months or so have been some of the worst I've lived through in terms of trauma and drama and chaos with my family. And I'm comfortable saying now I have been the victim of narcissistic abuse from both of my parents for my entire life. But as of a week ago, that ended. And I set the end date. And I made sure it happened. And I have followed through. And I have done everything that I said I would do for them and for myself. And I have an incredibly clear conscience. And that is saying something. So I am very excited about what the future is for me. I have a couple of more days here in the house because, get this, the estate sale people have been lovely. I was supposed to be out on the 1st, but it took me longer just because my body with my Lyme disease, it is so tired. My body is just struggling to keep up. So I've been moving slower the last 3 or 4 days than I meant to. the estate sale people have been so compassionate and lovely. They're like, you just stay in the house. Do what you have to do. Take up some salt baths at night. Spend the night. Because the camper, of course, the camper right now doesn't have hot water. My hot water heater broke. So I can't take hot showers. And what's the other? Oh, my refrigerator's broken. So I have a little dorm fridge in there. So I can't really cook. I can't clean up well. And I can't take an Epsom salt bath because I don't have I only have a shower. But it's only cold water. So I've been really practicing self-care here, and the estate sale people understand, and I've been, you know, washing all my linens and stuff in the camper, because now that I'm out of the house, I gotta make the camper really a house. I've gotta clean out a bunch of stuff in it that I don't like. But this is one of the other beautiful ways that the universe has provided for me. Amazingly, I posted on Facebook in this community that I live in that I was looking for a place to move the camper to, because where I have the camper now is not a good place. I knew up front. I had some red flags. I was correct. I should have listened to myself, but I went ahead and moved it there. I will be very glad to not be there anymore soon, but I put this SOS out and said, I need somewhere to go. Anybody have any ideas? And I found, of all things, this beautiful tiny house community, basically, which is even closer to Sun City than where I am now with the Airstream. And this guy is he's a tiny house builder. He has 5 spots in this little community. He only takes Airstreams and tiny houses, either that he makes or someone else makes. And it's really pretty there, and he's great. Get this, he's got a daughter that's very spiritual, very intuitive, and needs some mentoring. Hello. One of the other tenants that's there, she is an intuitive life coach also. And he wants to build this really neat little community. He's got a community building that he's putting together. And he asked if I would kind of help him make this community better and understand how communities like that work and build this area where we have a fire pit and a garden and kind of all the things that I really enjoy about drawing people together and places. He wants me to help him build that. So I'm really excited. He seems like a really great guy. I get no red flags about him at all. Like, his energy's really sweet. So I'm very excited. So I'm going to be moving the Airstream there in a couple of weeks once I'm less tired. Like right now, if you told me I had to go hook up that truck to the Airstream and pack everything and get it moved over there safely, I think I would just start crying. So I'm even considering, it's only 2 miles from where I am now, but I'm thinking about hiring somebody to move it for me. I'm that tired. But anyway, so I have a lovely new place to be, a community that I could build, and I'm just sitting here peacefully in the house for the next few days as we kind of organize and get ready to bless and release all this stuff that's held me back for years and years, and it feels really good. So I'll probably get up again in the morning and just sage the living hell out of all the items, but I've been saging the house to like make it ready for the next people that come, like really wishing and imbuing like everything in the house and the house itself with good energy and hopes and dreams, and wanting the next people that touch any of these objects and anything in the house or come to live in the house, like that they really feel like good energy and nothing toxic and nothing heavy and nothing dramatic that's been going on around any of this stuff or this place. So I've been doing my magic that I know how to do here, because I want all of this to go out into the world and make it better, not take any of this heaviness with it. So anyway, that's what I've been doing since I talked to you guys last in July. I really hope you're well. I've had to put a lot of my coaching aside because I've been battling inner demons and outer demons, and which is funny, I don't even believe in demons, but that's what it's felt like. But it's been a very dark night, and I'm coming out on the other side, and it feels so good. So I just wanted to share with you guys, but I love you. And it's been so long since I've recorded the podcast. Like, Anchor is not Anchor anymore. It's now Spotify, so I had to transfer the whole podcast over, and hopefully I did it right. Now I have to go find all the music and all the stuff and try to make it sound like what you're used to. So bear with me. If it sounds crummy, then it is what it is. That's my new motto. Anyway, I love you guys, and as always, thank you so much for listening and for sticking around and for waiting for me since July. You guys are awesome. I love you, and I hope you're well, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.